Jesus' name also this morning. It's a wonderful privilege of meeting in his name, of being here with him, with his word. Want to speak this morning from some of the last words of Jesus on earth. Not his last prayer. We want to look at what we call Jesus' high priestly prayer. John 17. As he was with his disciples, and John told us about that and from about chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, he told us about the teaching that Jesus gave as he opened to them the great desire that he had for his people, that desire of serving him as a church. We're going to begin in chapter 16 and verse 32, just for a little background. But we find Jesus was there in that upper room, and he was teaching them the way of eternal life. It says in verse 32 of chapter 16, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it's now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus was giving those final teachings to his disciples. The 12 were around him, 11. Judas had gone out. And then he was teaching them about his death, his resurrection, his ascension. And they weren't able to quite understand all of this because they had never heard of something like this before. But they were listening. And then he says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven." As Jesus was there, sitting, standing, whatever he was, he lifted his eyes toward heaven and he began talking to his Father as if he were right there. And he was. He says, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son may also glorify thee." The hour is come. Earlier, just maybe a couple weeks earlier, or maybe less than that even, something took place, I don't remember what it was, but he said, "My hour isn't here. It hasn't come." But here he says, "My hour is come." The time that God proclaimed, the time that God decided that this act would be done is here. The hour is come. And he asked God, "Glorify me so that I can glorify you. Thought I was saying that backwards for a little bit, but that's what he said. That I may glorify you. As he looked forward to that time in the garden, that agony that he was going to be going through in a few hours or less. It would have been less than a few hours, shortly. He wanted to glorify his Father. Verse 2 says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He's talking to himself about himself in the third person here for a couple verses, and then it switches. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Jesus is saying to the Father, you've given me power over all flesh. He has the power to control our lives. And that is what he desires to do. But he also desires to give us eternal life so that we can look into the future and die with peace in our hearts, knowing that Jesus Christ is giving us eternal life. In verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. In a Sunday school, there's looking at Paul's teachings, and his desire was to elevate and to cause people to see and understand Jesus. Here, Jesus' desire was that people would understand God, the Father, his Father, our Father, as we say in the prayer that we prayed last Wednesday evening, our Father, which art in heaven. That needs to be, and that shall be, the child of God's main emphasis in life is to glorify God. Verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus was always desiring to do the will of his Father. And he was always desiring that people would see God in his work. What is our desire? Do we want to be seen? Or are we desiring for people to see God? Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have finished the work. The work is finished. There's no more 5,000 people to be fed. There's no more healings to be done. There's no more teachings to be given. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And 5, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You see Jesus with his eyes toward heaven and desiring that he could be back where he was before the earth was formed, that he could have that presence, be in that presence of God once again. His work was finished, and now take me home. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Out of the world, thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. What a privilege, what a blessing that he can come to the end of his life and he can say, I have kept them, those that you gave me, the 11 that was around him, have kept thy word. Yes, they had struggles. Yes, they had disappointments. They were a disappointment sometimes. But yet, when it all came to pass, they had kept his word. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They have known that. They have been studying your word, the Old Testament. They have been listening to the teacher, the only one who knows the truth, the only person that ever walked on this earth who lived a perfect life. And now he's talking like he's going to leave. It was a disappointment for the disciples, but it was a joy for God to be able to tell his father, for Jesus to be able to tell his father these things before he leaves. I have a verse 8 says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. You've taught me, I have taught them. The next person teaches the next person. The next person teaches the next person. And as long as we're coming back to the beginning to get our lessons, they all stay the same. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. A lot of the Jews didn't understand this. A lot of the Jews rejected him because he said he's come from the Father. He's come from God. He is the Son of God. And they rejected him because of it, because they couldn't understand. How many people today are rejecting? How many people are rejecting God because they can't understand? Just as an example, I have read a number of comments from people who have talked about the release and the escape and things from those in Haiti. And they just can't understand it. So it couldn't be that way, because that's just not the way it is. One person said, if you were in Haiti, you would know that that isn't the way they work. They couldn't just walk away. But they didn't know God. They didn't know the one who led them and the one who leads us. He says in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He said they came out of the world, and now he is praying that the Father would keep them and give them and teach them the way. He's going to leave. And someone needs to pick up the anvil, like you say. Yeah, they need to carry on the work that is being done that he had begun. Verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I love that verse. What is Jesus's was as God's. What is God's was Jesus. There's no difference. There's no separation. There's no division between them. And we'll see some more of that kind of thought a little later on in this chapter. Verse 11 then, and now I am no more in the world. I'm not out there in circulation anymore. I'm not out there teaching. I'm not out there doing miracles. But these are in the world. These around me here, they're going out into the world. They're going to be rubbing shoulders with Satan's kingdom. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Lord, keep them. Keep them safe. Keep them in your will. Keep them to doing those things that you have for them to do. Keep them in their teaching. Keep them in all of their work. Just bless them and guide them every step of the way. That was Jesus' great desire for his disciples and for his church today. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none is lost, but who? The son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The only one that was lost was Judas. Judas. The one who was going to soon betray him into the hands of sinners who thought they were the righteous of the world. But Judas, who left Jesus, who walked out of that room a little while before, and committed the unpardonable sin of betraying his Lord. Unpardonable for him. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Oh, that the world might find that joy of being a child of God in the presence of Jesus, allowing him to give them and use them and teach them the ways of eternal life. I have, 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I've given them your word, but the world has hated them. Who was the world? I'm afraid it was the Jews. I'm afraid it was those that should have known better, should have known the way, should have known the Father. He's saying they are of the world. And the hate, and these 11 around me are going to go out there into a world that hates them and try to teach them the way of eternal life. I pray thou not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I believe that is his prayer for us today. Don't take them out of the world, because the world is the place that needs salvation. It is the people that need salvation. And he has given us that responsibility to go and teach all nations. Not only the friendly nations, but also the ones where there is turmoil, where the people who go may lose their life. Keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. Jesus is praying that God would keep us from the evil that is all around us. A number of years ago, we were talking in our fellowship about starting a church in Los Angeles. And you know what one of the biggest fears was? That it's such an evil society. We'll get taken with them. What did we forget? God is more powerful. God has a greater plan than what we can come up with. He could keep us from the evil in Los Angeles. He could keep us from the evil anywhere. In Bangladesh, in Haiti, in Ukraine. And I hear very scary things about Ukraine and Russia. Should everybody just flee? No, God can keep them. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When we have this going before us, what do we have to be worried about? When we have the truth, what do we need to be worried about? The only thing that people can take from us is our life. And what's next? The bliss and joy of heaven. Yes, it leaves a hole. And those that are left behind mourn. They struggle. But for those who have gone, it is peace, it is joy, it is heaven. Sanctify them. Thy word is truth. Let's see. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Have we been sent into the world? Has God sent us? That's a question, kind of a question that came up in Sunday school, wasn't it? Does God tell us ahead of time that he has something for us to do? Sometimes and sometimes not. Sometimes it seems like it just happens. But it doesn't just happen. God was working behind the scenes, planning it all out and getting us prepared for what he has for us, whatever that is. We may not know. Thy word is truth. And when thy word is truth, then we can go with that word when he sends us into whatever place in the world that he sends us. Is it scary? If God desires us to go to Timbuktu and we've never been there in our life, and probably nobody else has either, but we go there and we find a group of people who are desiring to know the truth, and we have the privilege of teaching them. Yes, there was a day that we went through Spokane, and I thought, I wonder what's north of here. Oh, well, probably just some more mountains and just about the same thing there is on the next ridge over. And that was all I ever thought about. Ever did I dream that in a few years this would be home. And be home for almost 30 years. God may give us a glimpse of something that he wants us to do, but then he leaves it and works to make it come to pass. And for their sakes, verse 19, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. To be sanctified has the thought of consecrated, hallowed, and holiness. Jesus said, I have sanctified myself. I am holy. I am consecrated, and I'm moving forward. And now sanctify them, so that they can follow, so that they can teach, so that they can do what you have for them to do, even in 2022. We can do it. Verse 19 says, and for their sake I sanctify myself. And in verse 20, he changes gears. He comes down the pike about another 2,000 years, and he starts talking to us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Where did we find out about Jesus? Right here. Who did a lot of the writing of the New Testament? The disciples. They were teaching us now. They are teaching us what is important, where we need to go, and how we need to stand firm on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He is praying for us here. And so let us notice this. It is very important for us how he prays and what he desires from us that he is talking to his Father about. And the fact that we talk with him also. Verse 21, that they may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus and the Father are one. They cannot be separated. There is no separation between them. There is no differences between them. Is it possible for us to be that close together that we can be as God the Father and God the Son within the church? I don't understand it. It is a very high calling that we would all be one in Christ. But that's what he's praying for. That's what his desire is, and he mentions it several times in these next few verses. Verse 22 says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." The glory. And I should have spent more time in that word glory. I wish I would have. I think there is something there that we may bypass sometimes. But God has given us his glory so that we can have the ability to agree. Is that what he's saying? If it's not, let me know. That is a very important aspect of the Christian life. To be one in Christ. Verse 23, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." What a calling. It's kind of difficult to understand. It's kind of difficult to fathom that God would expect this from us. But he does. But not only that, he gives us the ability to do it. Do we love the church? Is it that power plant in our life? Can we give ourselves for it? Verse 24, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that they which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Where was Jesus? Right here, right then. He was 3 days, no. He was a day from the cross. He was a few minutes from the agony in the garden. He was right at the brink of death. And he said that he wants us to be there with him. Verse 25, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me." He had told them over and over again. They heard it as he was telling others that he was sent by God to come into the world to die, to raise again, to be able to take us home. "I have declared unto them thy name. I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." I have shown them the way. I have given them the utensils that it needs, that they need to live for you. I love them. I want them to see that the way that you love me and the way that you give me strength throughout these days. When Jesus had thus spoken, had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. There was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which should betray him, knew the place where Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Judas, Jesus' disciple that betrayed him to the Jews, came with that army to take him. Thinking, I don't know what he was thinking. People have speculated on what he was thinking. That maybe he'd get those 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus would just escape out of their hands. We don't know what Judas was thinking. But we know after Jesus was taken, he was disappointed in himself. And went out and hanged himself. Committed suicide. So may we be serving God as we enter into a new year. May we serve him faithfully. Let's not be afraid. I talked to a man a while back. Never saw him before. Probably never see him again. He said, I'm married. I have a wife. But he said, we're not having children. Because I'm afraid of what they'll have to go through in life. As this world is getting more evil and more evil. We don't need to be afraid of that. We don't need to be afraid to step out in God's hands and do what he calls us to do. No, we don't need to be afraid. Because we have him guiding us. Shall we pray?